Hey everyone, I'm Matt Lieb.
And I'm Vince Mancini.
And this is Pod Yourself a Gun, a Sopranos podcast in which Vince Mancini and I go through every episode of the greatest TV show ever made, The Sopranos on HBO. Ever heard of it? And we break it down, you know, episode by episode, scene by scene, minute by minute, second by second. Madonna, we must be crazy. How do you say crazy?
God.
If I knew enough Italian, I could do this. There's going to be a lot of Italian stereotyping in this. So just a trigger warning to all of our Italian listeners. We're going to be doing Italian face. What do you call that?
That's okay at this point.
Pasta face.
Yeah, I don't know. That's all I got.
I guess pizza face.
Moonstruck. No, moon face. I don't know.
Yeah, moonstruck face.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know.
My cousin Vinny face. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, our guest inside of the Pod Yourself a Gun Studios, a.k.a. the Frog Quarters, a.k.a. Vince's apartment, we have the, from the Habituation Room podcast and from the Young Turks Network and from AJ Plus's News Broke, Francesca Fiorentini.
Pizza face.
You like pizza face?
No, that's what I am. Fiorentini.
Fiorentini.
Fiorentini. I'm glad you're having Italian representation beyond Vince.
Yeah.
He's a sellout, though.
Yeah. Oh, why am I a sellout?
Because you spend time just making fun of Italians.
That's
well,
true.
Well, I got to use my privilege for something.
You're a minstrel show.
That's true.
You're an Uncle Tony.
You are an Uncle Tony.
I like that.
I feel bad
who's
about
the
that.
Who's the Uncle Tony in The Sopranos?
Like, who's the most, like, sells out the Italian culture? They
Paulie Walnuts.
Oh, Paulie. Yeah, Paulie. But, well, no, but he doesn't,
he's
like...
He's authentic.
Yeah, and he doesn't bend to the will of the Merigon. Like, who bends to the will?
I think Ralph had, like, some really shit things to say about Italians. Was it Ralph?
Well, he definitely...
And he's, like, really white...
Yeah, but he was into like the Holy Roman Empire and like Gladiator.
I mean, Artie Bucco.
Artie Bucco, definitely.
Oh, he definitely plays the Italian.
Dr. Cusimano. Dr. Cusimano had that scene later where he's having dinner with all those people. It's one of those like dinner parties and like
they're people, all making fun of mobsters.
They're making fun of mobsters and like Italians and stuff like that. And he's the Uncle Tony.
Oh, her therapist, yes.
Oh, well, there's that,
too. Not Melfi's therapist, Cusimano, is the...
No. Melfi's therapist is not... That's a Jewish guy. Dr. Cusimano...
The neighbor.
Is the neighbor.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, before we get too far, we got to play the theme song.
We have to play the theme song.
Matt?
Oh, I will do it because I am prepared. Ladies and gentlemen...
Oh, I got it if you don't.
No, I got it. I'm ready. Ready?
Yep.
All right. Pod yourself again. Your mama always said you'd be there. Chosen pod. Pod. You got to burn the shine. You're born under a podcast. Pod. Podcast. Woo! Oh, baby. Every time. Nothing gets me more in the mood for this podcast than that stupid-ass theme song.
That's what a theme song's supposed to do. So, this episode, just called College.
It's called College.
Very simple title. Mm-hmm. According to HBO, during a trip to Maine for Meadows College interviews, Tony sees a man he believes is a relocated mob snitch.
Mm-hmm.
This came out February 7th, 1999. And we can go to the Wayback Machine.
It's time for the Wayback Machine.
The Wayback Machine.
Which is what we're going to call this segment in which we talk about what was going on in the world.
What was happening?
February 7th, 1999.
You need a sound effect, though, and I think it should be, eh. The Wayback Machine, eh.
We need to get Livia Soprano going, these blacks. Like that. Yeah.
The Wayback.
Yeah.
To racism. Okay, what was happening?
So the top movie in America was Payback with Mel Gibson.
Wow.
Give me back my son!
Yeah.
Followed by She's All That, Patch Adams.
Wow.
Top TV shows, 60 Minutes, Friends, ER, and Frasier.
I'm sorry.
The good years. But first of all, Payback, Give Me Back My Son is Ransom.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Payback, I don't remember what it was.
You gave me back my son, but I'm still mad. Yeah. I think Payback is some allegory about the Jews running the media, I'm sure.
Probably.
I wonder if you look back at all Mel Gibson movies, if you can go, oh, I see it. This is all allegories about how much he is an anti-Semite.
No.
You don't think so?
Braveheart? Mel Gibson, he's not an anti-Semite.
No, certainly not. No. He just hates the Jews. not Semites.
But it's so amazing what, I mean, okay, all those shows, very beloved American shows.
Sure.
But also comparatively crap.
Compared
to The Sopranos and this episode in particular,
this is shit.
They weren't ready for this.
They weren't ready.
Well, because this was before premium cable was a thing.
Yeah, and prestige TV wasn't a thing yet.
The entire structure is different. Like, the entire structure of free TV is we got eyeballs and we're constantly worried that they're going to click away. So, every 6 seconds, there's got to be something that's like, make them laugh. Or, like, it's very
make
needy.
Them laugh, make them cry.
It's like a super needy format.
Whereas,
if you're premium cable, you already got their dollars.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, we can tell a story.
Yeah.
This is what you came for, kind of thing.
You can give art to them. You can give them, show them an art, and they'll be okay with the art because they're already paid for the art. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're the 1% of culture.
Yeah, exactly.
And they paid for it.
And that was the thing.
What was on at this point before on HBO? I'm sorry. Maybe you've already covered this.
I think Dream On was on.
What? Oz?
Arliss.
Arliss, yeah. I think that what's interesting to me is 60 Minutes was the number one show in America at that time. I mean, they must have had like a special expose.
It was all about Lewinsky and Bill and OJ.
Yeah, the top headline was Lewinsky speaks as a nation watches.
There you go.
Yeah, you're 100% right. It was Lewinsky. That's why people were super into news. 24-hour news networks had just started. That during the Clinton administration, but people were still watching national news magazines like 60 Minutes before, you know.
I want prestige news. I guess that's what like Ben Shapiro is. But anyway.
I don't think that's what Ben Shapiro is.
But don't you have to pay?
No, I think you just,
isn't he on
YouTube?
Just log on.
Yeah. And then also Crown Prince Abdullah became the King of Jordan upon the death of King Hussein.
Oh, wow. King
he
Hussein
died
on this day. In 99.
That's right.
Too bad he missed the episode.
I know.
That's so sad. He missed the moment in which Sopranos really started to come into its own.
Imagine dying just before prestige TV came into its
own.
Such a tragedy.
What a boring life you
live. I'm going to be honest and say that if you die without seeing the Sopranos, you have not lived a full life.
That's right.
Hey. That you're on the right show because we believe the same thing. We love The Sopranos here. And we can't wait for it to return in movie form with his son.
Okay. So you want to do Bada B stories for this episode?
Yes. So once again, during a trip to Maine, Meadows for Meadows College interviews, Tony sees a man he believes is a relocated mob snitch. And then back at home, Carmela receives comfort from
Fabian Petrullio.
From Father Phil and discovers something about Dr. Melfi. So
his last name is like almost patchouli, which is exactly the kind of like I don't know, like a touchy feely fuck boy that he is.
Oh, no, that's Petrullio is the snitch. Father Phil.
I thought Father Phil was Fabian Petrullio.
No.
Okay. But all right.
Yeah. I see what your point could have been.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. It's a Fabian Patchouli.
A patchouli.
He always smells like the pot.
Yeah. Who wants to eat the mushrooms? And this is not the regular mushrooms. This is the magic mushroom. All right. So, Bada B stories. We got Tony taking Meadow to visit colleges. We got a one-legged Svetlana gets married. I mean, we don't really see that. That's
no,
just
but she's, we hear about it over the phone.
We do.
She's going to become a character later.
Yeah.
The bitter one-legged Russian chick was a very good character.
Very good character. Yeah. Tony sees an old snitch in Maine and begins tracking him. His name is Fabian Petrullio. And Carm is sick in bed and invites Father Phil over to watch some movies.
Yeah.
Meadow and Tony are trying honesty out on each other.
Mm.
I think those are my B stories.
Yeah,
what have you got?
Those are the same. I got the same ones.
Yeah.
I got a clip of Tony talking to his Gumar.
Oh, yeah.
Irina.
Yeah. Yes.
If you want.
Sweetheart.
I'm so pissed. I can hardly see you.
Why? Are you getting the flu? No, that's my cousin, Svetlana.
Deputy?
2 months, she's only in America, and she's already getting married.
Hey, you know the deal. I got 2 kids high school age. Now, we talked about this.
Yes, and a wife, whenever you want. What do I have in my life?
Boy, am I glad I called.
Fuck you, then. Hang up.
How do Whirlpool jets? They get them in, right?
Don't throw up in my face things you buy me, okay?
What?
Don't throw up in my face things you buy me.
Don't throw up in my face. I
can't tell if she's a terrible actress or like,
I think she's,
or just has a great, or brilliant accent.
Yeah, I can't tell if she's a terrible actress or doesn't know that she's actually on a TV show and she's actually exactly like that, which would, I think, make her a wonderful actress. Depending on whether or not.
No, she's so perfect.
She's so perfect.
But she, like, the cadence of that entire thing was like, I have no idea what you just said.
Right.
Yeah.
Where did you put the stress on any of that?
That's true. I've noticed that in my, subsequent go-arounds of the show, if you do subtitles, they help especially for the scenes with Irina. Because there's, like, she has jokes. She has, she's saying a lot, but you mostly don't hear because she's so hot.
Right. Well, sure. We got a very...
Except for the eyes.
We got a good malapropism coming up in this one, too.
Okay.
Her prosthetic leg fell off in a Gap store, and he carries her out like a knight in white satin armor.
White satin armor.
Yeah, now...
How did I... Wait.
Knights in white satin.
Wow.
Never reaching the end.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I mean, there's a couple of malapropisms there. You got knight in white satin armor, and then you also have don't throw up in my face.
Yeah.
Which is just
That's
fantastic.
Like a very much a thing that someone who is not super fluent in English, like that's a very easy mistake to make.
Oh, yeah. It's very possible.
I love the little... Mistakes that are like completely understandable, mm-hmm. but end up being super funny. Mm-hmm. Like I used to work with this another waiter, mm-hmm. This guy Jorge, when I used to wait tables, and he like spoke English almost perfectly. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that he would screw up, he didn't understand the nuance between calling someone ladies and lady.
Yeah,
because it doesn't seem like it.
Oh,
think.
Yeah.
But like
very
calling,
different.
It's like, oh, what can I get for you, ladies? Like that's polite. Yeah. But if it's just one lady, and he would always be like, what can I get for you, lady? And it was, I never wanted to correct him because it was so funny.
When I worked,
hello, lady.
Pepper for you, lady? And he came over with the pepper shaker. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, lady. When I worked at a doctor's office, I had a coworker who was this black lady from Oakland, and she would say a lot. She would try to say, be that as it may, but she didn't know the phrase. So what she would say is being that it's May. And
she was born in the States though, right?
She was born in the States, but it was just one of those things.
Was
where
she as hot as Irina?
She's pretty hot. But she, you
so
know,
you let it slide.
What's that?
You let it slide.
Well, that's the thing. She said it so much that to be like, I'm sorry, but it's be that as it may. Being that it's May makes no sense unless it's May. And you can, and like you're like being that it's May, the flowers are blooming, like that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But it, be that as it may is a very different phrase. And that was the thing, like when someone has like that kind of malapropism that they use that often, to correct it, like in my mind, would be so embarrassing that I don't think they would survive.
Right.
Oh yeah, that one for sure. I also think that Tony, back to The Sopranos, it helps that he's got a Gumar who he doesn't understand half the time. Uh-huh. Really.
Yeah.
Because he can kind of just ignore whatever the fuck she's saying.
Yeah, all of her
complaints.
He doesn't really view her as like someone to talk to. This isn't a companion.
No.
This is someone who he pays to have sex with. You know.
And did she say that her cousin Svetlana lost her leg in a Gap
store?
In a Gap store, yeah.
That's how she met her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Fiance.
Yeah.
Her leg fell off in a Gap store, and he carried her to the car like a knight in white satin.
That already sounds suspicious, because like if you have one leg, you're in a Gap, they've got great mannequins.
Mm-hmm,
I feel like something's going on with the like, I'm just going to grab this
prosthetic.
That's
a good point.
Like,
they're like, oh, this must be fallen off from the legging section of the Gap. And they just took it from her. Yeah.
So this episode, I think this is where... Well, first of all, it's the first one that's like a full drama.
Yes.
I mean, before this, it's kind of sitcom-y in a good way. Like, sure. I kind of wish there was more. There's a few jokes in this one. But
yeah, this one is the first time you not only see just the kind of like, hey, wise guys, you know, they're just like us, to paraphrase Alan Sepinwall. But like, this is the one where you see like, oh, they're not just like us at all. Like,
right, yeah.
Like, this is the first time you ever see Tony murder someone, like directly responsible for the death of someone, and not just directly responsible, but literally strangle a man to death.
Also, I think in 1999, so to get a little further along in the plot of this episode,
sure.
Tony takes Meadow to Maine, and he sees this guy who thinks he knows. Well, it's funny because he and Meadow get like serious, and he basically breaks Omerta, as you say.
Yeah.
And then in the midst of that, he sees this guy who he wants to kill, but he can't tell Meadow about it. So he immediately goes back into keeping things from her.
Right, exactly. Well, because that's the thing. It's like he is trying to, you know, break Omerta in kind of like a really sly way where he's just like, listen, some of my money comes from illegal gambling.
She brings it up, though. I want to say there was nothing on the radio. She brings it up immediately because Meadow is the wokest character on The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah.
She's like the Lisa Simpson. She's so great.
She is.
She understands her privilege comes exactly from like these suspect, you know, sources and that her dad's in the mob. But she's like, I'm gonna use that because I see all of my other rich friends, like their parents are, she mentions, like they're in the tobacco like lobby this other bullshit. She gets it and she's like, I'm a good student. I'm gonna try and get into college and just like move ahead.
Right.
And is consistent kind of the whole show.
I mean, the two kids are perfect because they're both like represent the two sides of the societal advancement coin.
Right.
It's like you could have a daughter who like uses her privilege, you know, to go to college and like do smart things.
It's a good,
or you could just have like a shithead failed son.
Yeah, exactly.
Like AJ.
Yeah.
He's so cute in this episode and he's still such a little punk ass beat. He's such a little waste of like he tries to make Carmella poached eggs
and then they're hard boiled.
But like it doesn't even look like they're well, like they look like the
You're not even gonna
stuck.
Eat it now after I spent like, all that time?
Yeah, which is a super Livia Soprano way of putting it.
Yeah.
Just martyred. I slaved over this for you. This is the episode in which Tony, you know, admits to Meadow that he is in the mafia.
And one of my notes on this episode was that Jamie Lynn Sigler is incredibly underrated as like a teenage actress in this.
No, she's
just like
so
16
good.
Or 17.
Yeah.
She's perfect.
Yeah, she's really good in this. And so I have two clips from the scene in which she asks about it.
Uh-huh.
Now, the first clip and the second clip, the difference is that first he denies, and then in the second clip, he admits. So let me play that for you.
Are you in the mafia?
Am I in the what?
Whatever you want to call it, organized crime.
That's total crap. Who told you that?
Dad, I've lived in the house all my life. I've seen police come with warrants. I've seen you going out at 3 in the morning.
So you never seen Doc Cusimano go out at 3 in the morning on a call?
Did the Cusimano kids ever find $50,000 in Krugerrands and a .45 automatic while they were hunting for Easter eggs?
Ooh. I'm in a waste management business. Everybody immediately assumes you're mobbed up. It's a stereotype, and it's offensive. And you're the last person I would want to perpetuate. There's no mafia.
Okay, what I love about that denial is that it's clear that he has stock denials depending on the person, the audience that he's talking to. Like in this case, he perfectly tries to play like the social justice angle. Like, oh, it's racist that you would that you would think that I'm in the mafia.
That's very early, you're the real racist.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And just like, you know, he knows that like this is the language that she would usually be like, oh, good point. I never thought about that. Actually, it's racist to think my dad's in the mafia, even though he is clearly in the mafia.
She's been holding that in for so long.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Easter egg that, you know, hunt and finding the 45 or whatever she found.
Yeah.
What I love about this is his last line, which is, there is no mafia.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is a precursor to then him admitting.
Yes.
Because saying there is no mafia is that's like what a snitch, that's what like the FBI says. Right. Not, I mean, you know, or someone who's like, nah, they're all gone away. All that's, you know, all those fools have been locked up and it doesn't exist anymore. And this is like the Jersey family. Like, no, we're still here.
Yeah, right.
We're still making money. Fuck you. Like, I feel like him saying there is no mafia is like, it's a little bit of a betrayal of like what he does.
Right. And he feels bad about it knowing that Meadow is looking at him like, listen, I was with you for a little bit up until this point. And then that's when he admits it in one of the sweetest little scenes, I think, in the show.
All right, look, Med, you're a grown woman, almost. Some of my money comes from illegal gambling and whatnot. How does that make you feel?
At least you don't keep denying it like Mom. Kids in school think it's actually kind of neat.
Seen The Godfather, right?
Not really. Casino, we like Sharon Stone, 70s clothes, pills.
I'm not asking about those bums. I'm asking about you.
Those bums.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish you were like other dads. Then like Mr. Scangarello, for example. An advertising executive for Big Tobacco. Or lawyers. Ugh, so many dads are full of shit.
And I'm not.
Finally told the truth about this.
As long as we got each other. Aww. Sharing the laughter and love.
Yeah.
There should be more harmonizing on this show.
There really should be.
Yeah. So I think, like, right off the bat, even before we get to the scene, like, this, the technical aspects of the show immediately telegraph that it's going to be more than a sitcom, because it opens and there's like the spinning Michael Bay shot Tony at the, you know, in this beautiful Maine campus. I love that there's enough colleges just in Maine for them to go on a college trip just to Maine.
Yes.
And
yes,
there's another spinning shot when Dr. Phil, you know, when Dr. Phil goes to meet Carmela, when Father Phil goes to meet Carmela and it just spins around.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is awesome.
It's a well-directed
episode. And then there's
like
there's a tracking shot after he comes in his pants.
Yeah. Wait a second. Comes in his pants?
What? You didn't get the fact that he came in his pants?
No.
What, are you kidding me?
He
jizzed in his pants.
What?
And then he went to throw up, which is, I don't know. I like the idea that he had a cum-induced vomit.
Oh, my God.
He didn't come in his
pants.
He
did, too. He absolutely...
He was about to kiss her, and then he felt sick. Body's touch and the angels cry. Leave this place, go back to yours. Our lips first touch outside your doors. The whole night, what we've got in store. I give you communion. Whisper right here that you want some more. Jizz in my pants. This... If it ever happens, you can take my word. I won't apologize, that's just absurd. I'm in the old world for the way that you dance, and now I jizz in my pants. Don't tell your friends or I'll say you're a slut. Plus, it's your fault you were rubbing my butt.
connection.
Yeah.
Jamie Lynn Sigler is actually in the jizz in my pants.
Is it? Yeah, she's in that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
She is. And he very clearly jizzed in his pants.
That, you know what? I never looked at it like that.
I disagree.
I thought he was right about to kiss her and then he got so nervous that he vomited.
There's no eyes wide. There's no like.
He came. Like, look at his reaction. He goes like.
Really?
Oh, yes. Wow. He totally does.
Oh.
He goes like. Oh,
Father Phil. No.
Yeah. I don't know if he.
No, he I could see that.
If we played the video again.
Okay.
It's very clearly jizz in his pants.
I think that should have... See, Carm should have been able to notice that or seen that.
I don't think... Yeah, I don't think she
did, though.
I thought he just was drunk.
What's wrong, Phil?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
And then he
vomits. Did you drink too much?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, though.
Yeah, I mean, he did... Well, he was drunk, but he also...
He jizzed in his pants.
She was drinking Fernet.
Well, we're getting... We're getting ahead of the plot.
But yeah, sort of. So at that moment after the admission, the breaking
which
of America.
It really is so sweet.
It is sweet.
So well written.
Yeah.
And it also begins a little bit of a like Meadow versus Carm thing. Like, you can tell why, like,
she has some resentment for Carm because Carm does not stand up to Tony and doesn't admit that her money is from ill-gotten gains.
Right.
And of course in this episode she does admit that is what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, this episode is very confessional. There's a lot of confessions going on. Every character rather than being together.
It's about the things that you confess and the things that you can't confess.
Right. Exactly.
And everyone's drunk also.
And everyone is drunk. That's true. Yeah. There's a lot of like throwing up and drinking in this. Mm-hmm. But you've got, you know, Father Phil confessing his love for Carmela. Mm-hmm. You've got Carmela confessing that she's worried about, you know, the fact that she has forsaken what is right for what is easy. You've got Tony confessing that he is actually in the mafia, and you've got Meadow confessing that she takes speed at mm-hmm. one point.
And, you know, it all comes full circle when Tony has to admit that his psychologist or psychiatrist has been a woman this whole time.
Right. And it's funny because what's another word for confession? Snitching.
Mm.
Oh.
Okay. And feels like a stretch, but
yeah, no, it's
a little
not,
bit of a stretch.
No, it's not a stretch at all. All confessions are snitching. And so,
on yourself.
Yeah, you snitch on yourself, dude. That's still snitching. Snitches get stitches.
As we find out in this episode.
Right, exactly. Because he goes after a snitch.
And yeah, and this is where it becomes full like anti-hero, I guess.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I think we could be sympathetic to Tony for most of the first...
The first four episodes.
It's like for the most part.
While mm-hmm. he beats people up,
he does
and stuff,
beat people up, yeah.
He definitely, it's usually people who are in the mob or associated with it. And so you kind of forgive it as like, that's the price of doing business in the mafia. Of course, they're going to be violent. But you never see him actually get his hands dirty. And this episode, you actually see him mm-hmm. murder
and knowing that the biggest crime is not getting paid, it's like you don't get killed for not paying up.
Yeah, you just get your legs broken.
But if you're a snitch, you sent people to jail for years and years of their whole lives, you're going to die.
It's the worst thing you could do. And of course, it's something that Tony does with his daughter.
Yeah, so another, the alternate title of this episode, I thought, could be The Telltale Lips.
Uh-huh, yes,
because,
yes, yeah.
You know, Tony's reminding Christopher of who Fabian Petrullo is. He's like, oh, you remember he made that bust
of Frank Sinatra?
And he's like, I thought it was Shaquille O'Neal. Fucker needs to work on his lips.
Yeah,
You know, another, like, moment of fairly overt racism.
Yeah.
And then he goes and he sees the bust of Reagan and it, like, pans slowly down.
To the lips.
And he's got the big lips. Oh, and he's like, I got you, you rat.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a... What you would expect to happen was... Petrullo stalks Tony back to the hotel and he's about to kill him with his weird target pistol.
He's got straight up a fucking revolver, isn't it?
No, I think it's like a weird, like one of those skeet shooting. It's like a long-barreled pistol.
Okay.
I actually don't know. I need to, like...
What does it shoot? Bullets.
Probably
bullets. It shoots bullets.
It would work, but it was clear that, you know, he didn't have, like, a mafia,
it looked,
you know,
like
gun.
A sportsman's pistol.
He's he's such a punk, too, though. I mean, sorry, because for me, he was going to shoot... He was going to shoot Tony. He has Tony in the crosshairs.
Yeah.
Then there is another neighboring hotel tenants who are there, who are staying, and they're like fumbling for their keys.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's why he didn't shoot Tony.
Right.
Not because
such a
his
good,
daughter was there.
Exactly. It's such a good scene because like it gives you a little bit of both. You're like, oh, he didn't shoot him because his daughter. Oh, not really.
You're not really. He couldn't do it and get away with it.
And that's what he claims before Tony eventually catches up.
Yeah.
And then there was like the weird scene where Tony sees him and his wife skinny dipping in the hot tub. That felt like a holdover from HBO where it's like, all right, we got to have like a one tit quota.
Listen,
in every show.
It's in the writer.
It's what they paid for.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like prestige.
Although, yeah, the prestige was titties back in the day.
You can just hear an exec being like, hey, how am I going to jerk off to this?
Yeah.
There's no tits in this episode.
The titties from afar.
There was like butt, I think.
Yeah, you see some butt. I think you see titties too, but I just remember being like, yep, there we go. We got some nudity.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have the, you know, back in the day, and probably still to this day, they would show you like all the different warnings, like, you know, mild violence or, you know, just straight up violence.
Adult content.
Yeah. If you get that adult content, like that nudity or brief nudity.
You get the SC, which is strong sexual content, and the N, then you know it's going to be a good episode.
Oh, you get that N, and you're just like, my dick's already out. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I don't really masturbate the Sopranos, sweetie. I just, I don't. I swear to God.
Yeah,
I just called you sweetie,
you did call
on,
me sweetie
on the podcast.
Yeah,
but there was the twist.
We're in a relationship. For anyone who's listening, mm-hmm, is like, wow, mm-hmm, Matt's sexist. Mm-hmm. I'm not sexist.
Full disclosure.
You turned me on to Sopranos.
That's right. We watched it all together, and aww, that's how I knew that this relationship was strong.
I watch everything about 15 years late. Or yeah, 20 at this point, because I just finished it, mm-hmm, and now I don't know. I'm like into an abyss of what to watch because I don't feel like I'll ever get as good. I've seen Breaking Bad, right, all that, but I'm just, so it's great to be able to go and just re-savor it.
Yeah.
Go back and watch it again. Yeah. Why do I need to fuck with Killing Eve when I can just watch Sopranos
exactly
again?
Exactly.
It holds up. So I think the twist in here, which makes it more of like the premium cable, like officially a good show, because like the obvious thing to do would be that guy doesn't kill Tony because Meadow's there, and then Tony like has the chance to kill him
and
doesn't. But
right,
instead,
yeah,
it's like they are still clearly pieces of shit.
Right.
Like, he didn't kill him because he couldn't get away with it.
Right.
And Tony is like, well, you lost your chance, buddy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You had the chance and you didn't. And also, he tells him to his face because he was just like, you know, I could have killed you. Your daughter was drunk and I decided not to. And then he was just like, you know, that's the thing about us wise guys. The hustle never ends. And it's just like, damn.
Yeah, it's cold.
You are fucked.
Yeah.
He was also, Fabian was trying to pay like two crackheads and extort them one point.
He's still selling drugs while he's in the witness protection.
Exactly. That was
very, he's kicked out of the witness. He's not in witness protection anymore.
Right, for selling H.
Yeah. But I want to play a clip from a Meadow's confession.
Okay.
Because it's another case in this episode where there's like a sweet confession that's marred by reality, and it's still a sweet scene. So,
weeks ago, me and some friends, we were doing speed.
A crop will kill you.
I know.
It'll slap the shit out of you. Where did you get it?
If I thought this was going to be a lecture, I never would have told you.
Take a reality check. What do you think I'm going to say? Where did you get it?
No way I'm telling you, especially after this reaction.
Well, why did you tell me?
You were honest with me today.
Aww.
I won't be doing it again. It got too scary.
Jesus, right under my nose. Think you'd know.
No, Dad. You won't.
I'm glad you told me, in spite of everything.
Glad I did too. I'm glad we have that kind of relationship. As long as we got each other, aww, we got the world spinning right in our hands. Baby, rain or shine, all the time. We got each other, sharing the laughter and love.
Hell yeah, dude.
Sharing the speed.
Hey, Vince.
Hey, Matt.
As you know, Vince, I love old internet memes. Remember the early internet's obsession with Chuck Norris jokes?
I do remember that.
Here's one. When Chuck Norris went to college, he told his father, "Now you're the man of the house."
Why do you bring this up?
Well, I was thinking about those old memes, and I started thinking, I wonder what Chuck Norris is doing right now. What has he been up to?
You know, I actually know the answer to that, Matt. Yeah, I recently saw a health video he made, and I was surprised. He's in his 80s, and he still seems to have energy and health.
You know, I saw the very same video, Vince, and in it he says he's even stronger, has more stamina, and plenty of energy left over for his grandkids since making one simple health change that helps his digestion and nutrition.
That's almost too powerful to contemplate, but
yes,
it's true. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife made the same change, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger and has energy all day.
I am way younger than them, and I have energy for about 2 hours a day. And the problem is, you know, that many of us do not include fruits and vegetables and other herbs that increase health and energy in our own diets. Chuck Norris made a special video that explains how he incorporated these things with one simple product.
I love special videos, and you can watch it too by going to mymorningkick.com/podyourself, and it may change your approach to your own health.
Once again, that's mymorningkick.com/podyourself, mymorningkick.com/podyourself. Go there now and watch this very special Chuck Norris video. Yeah, I mean,
sharing the lies.
The show does have, what I love about this episode is how much Meadow wants to have this like honest relationship with her father, but how much Tony is just like, the reality here is I'm not going to tell you the shit that's going down in my life.
Yeah.
You want to know? Now you know. But I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty.
No, and it doesn't work both ways.
No, it doesn't work both ways.
Yeah. I'm your dad.
Yeah.
You're my daughter.
Yeah.
And I don't approve of that shit.
Yeah.
And I have reserved the right to, just because you know this other thing about me.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know. I think that if it were Carmella who had the reaction, the way Tony had that reaction,
yeah.
I don't think Meadow would flip back and be like, you know, because, you know, they're like, oh, if I knew this was going to be a reaction, I wouldn't have told you. And then she's okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think she, I mean, again, back to the sort of like Latino and Italian father. It's the father-daughter that's a very strong bond.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's, yeah, the babbo and I don't know how to say fucking daughter. Sorella.
Filia?
Sorella. Filia. No,
that's Filio's boy
filia.
Or son.
Filia.
Yeah.
And Babbo.
And Babbo.
And then the mother-son is like the stronger in the Italian relationship.
Yeah,
so
totally.
I don't know if she would have done the same thing if it were Carmella.
No.
Well, the Meadow and Carmella have like the adversarial relationship that Tony's got to kind of put up with.
Right.
And they're like, and they, they can't come together because they're both two testaduros.
Wait, so but the confession wasn't ending there, and later on he will find out where she got the speed, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Was
he? I don't think he ever knows.
No. Does he never
Christopher
know?
Would okay. be
yeah, Christopher would not be alive if that were the case.
Yeah, we need him because he's a good character.
And this is twice that in this episode, later in the episode, Carmella admits to the fact that Father Phil slept over. And she says, you know, like, oh, just so you know. And then, you know, he's like, wait, so you slept with Father Phil? And she's like, no. And then he goes once again, so why are you telling me this? Like, his whole thing, whenever someone is brutally honest with him about
something,
like,
he doesn't get it.
Why are you telling me this? Why should I know this? And
right,
I love
it because
he's just like, listen, I'm going to continue keeping stuff from you.
Yeah.
All right. And like this,
it is
idea,
a need to know basis. That's how he operates.
Yeah, that's
all
how
the time.
He operates.
And
yeah.
This is the first episode with like a perfect button ending, which is that he's like, why are you telling me this? And she's like, well, I found out that you got a female psychiatrist.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he's
yeah.
like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I got the scene where she finds out that Dr. Melfi is a woman.
Yeah.
And I find her reaction just very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, I'm calling for Tony Soprano.
Cajun stuffed olives?
Who can I say is calling?
Shut up,
this
Phil.
Is Dr. Melfi.
Phil's just the obnoxious foodie priest.
Oh,
I
know.
Cinephile
foodie, he is so ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Like, think about the blogs he would write.
No, is this Mrs. Soprano?
That's right, and you are again?
Jennifer Melfi, Dr. Melfi.
Jennifer, lovely name.
No, he's not home.
Could I impose on you to tell him that I need to reschedule Monday's appointment? I'm down with the flu.
Does he have your number, Jennifer?
Let me give it to you just in case.
I lost my pencil up his ass.
I'll tell him you called.
Lost my pencil
up
his ass.
Ass.
This is not the first call she's gotten, nor will it be the last from like a random woman's voice who's like, is Mr. Soprano in? And it's like, who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck are you?
I've gotten this call before.
Yeah.
Oh, great. You're the therapist?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course you're a woman.
She doesn't go full Karen from Goodfellas.
Right.
It's like she's a mom. She's, you know.
Yeah.
She's not going to do the
get
your own goddamn man.
Yeah. The woman in 214 is a whore.
Yeah.
But also Melfi's always very hot. Like she's a little bit like sexual in ways that, I mean,
well,
like,
she's Carmella's got that sultry voice.
She's got a sultry voice. She's got her like, you know, always with the legs. And
always
then
with
in
the
this
legs.
One, she's just like in bed and she's wearing shorts and she kind of you can kind of see like her knees. And she still, I think, looks kind of like sexual. There's something there. You're like, this could actually be a problem for the family.
Right.
And I think as a viewer, you're not sure whether it's a problem.
Right.
Or not.
Cause there's, like they're kind of making it like they're going to have a relationship.
Right. Which is, but speaks to the strength of the show that they were able to avoid that very obvious pitfall.
They're probably pulling a Mulder and Scully kind of thing.
Yeah.
These two.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you have the last clip of when he admits that it's Melfi or that it's Jennifer?
No, I just have Phil apologizing.
Because that's great. Well, I was just going to say, it's such a wonderful, like, revert to sitcom. He's just gotten back in the car, driven back from Maine, blood and a cut on his hand.
His shoes are muddy.
And then it's like, come, I was going to tell you. And he even has a little silhouetted freak out. As he like goes and you imagine it continues and he begs for forgiveness and there's a whole thing. Yeah. And it's so sitcom and it's just a perfect button on this episode. Yeah.
So we got to talk about Fuckboy Phil.
We got to talk about Fuckboy Phil, dude.
So I think the implication is that because he's taken a vow of chastity, his desires have all turned to food. And just their interactions, the way his seduction strategies are all like weirdly, they're all either pop culture or religion based. And
he's so obviously not like, he's a fuckboy, but he's also the unrequited lover, nice guy who's just like, how come girls don't want to fuck me? His whole strategy is like, be just their best friend, and then maybe they'll want to fuck. And like at their most vulnerable moment, they might slip up and
which
whatnot.
Makes sense because like if he'd taken a vow of chastity early, his like sexual sophistication is stuck in like, you know, seventh grade.
Right, exactly.
It is very seventh grade, and the whole thing.
And it's so telling too that like he's not able to close the deal, or as you put it, he comes in his pants, which I just now realize. Because of course he does. Of course he can't close the deal. That's the whole problem with this type of, when you're in this space, this best friend space. Mm-hmm. Like back, I used to be that too. I was like every girl's best friend.
And you're just sitting there watching a movie together, and then you jizz in your pants.
And then you jizz in your pants because you just, and of course you
don't
that's
know.
That's how I fell in love with you.
Yeah, that's true.
when we watched The Sopranos together, and maybe it was this episode, and then you came in your pants. And I was like, he's the one.
I was like, yo, idol. Yeah. Yo, idol. Speaking of which,
oy vey.
Father Phil is his character. I don't know if it's written this way. I think it's just in this episode, but he's, you know, he uses Yiddish. He's very Jewish in this, and he explains it as like, oh, in Yonkers, I grew up in a half Italian, half Jewish neighborhood. But like, it's in this way that I'm like, is he doing like a Jewish stereotype? Because his first words of this episode when he gets in out of the rain is "Oi!" And then after that, he
worries that he's becoming a schnorrer.
I think it's nice because it's like you're getting all the different shades and flavors of Italian.
That's true.
In the Northeast.
That's very true. And there's very Jewish Italians. Mm-hmm. Like there's kind of like there's a blurred line there between like cultures in which you're like
the Gary Marshall thing.
Exactly. Like, did you know Gary Marshall is Italian and not Jewish? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
I don't know what Carmela wants from the whole thing because it's inappropriate from jump. Walking in late at night, she's sick. She like fixes her face, which I think you'd do if anyone came over. It's fine. But then feeds him, sits there and watches movies. They fall asleep together. Mm-hmm. And then kind of...
You like food. You're a man.
Yeah.
And he's like, am I?
Yeah, right.
That's why you come in.
Yeah.
But I don't know what she's getting... I think she really wants to be intellectually stimulated in every single relationship she has outside of Tony and like infatuation, except for Furio, which is very non-intellectual.
It's just carnal.
I just want to get fucked.
Pound it.
Yeah, but it's always someone who's a little smarter and who like wants to bring her up a notch.
Giving her books.
They offer her a glimpse of what her life would be if she hadn't married Tony. Basically.
Yeah, it would just be a bunch of dudes mansplaining Buddhism to her. She wants that because it's so much more intellectually stimulating.
Not as much as she wants Bulgari jewels. Like,
I know.
At the end of the day, a nice necklace, you know, she looked
it does
good.
It. It does it for her.
She needs those acrylic nails. So this isn't quite a malapropism, but it's in the same ballpark, and just the way that she and Phil yes and each other without knowing what the other one is talking about, is very beautiful. Oof.
Different picture.
Oh, totally. You talking to me, pilot? Well, you must be talking to me because I don't see nobody else here except Barabbas here. You know what's remarkable? If you take everything Jesus ever said, add it up, it only amounts to 2 hours of talk.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, but wait, I heard the same thing about the Beatles. Except it was, if you add up all their songs, it only comes to 10 hours.
I love her.
Yes.
I love it. It's really cute in this, like, obviously two people flirting way where they're just kind of, they're just
two ships passing in the night in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like when you're at the like counter at the airport and someone says, have a nice trip. And you're like, you too. Damn it.
Oops. Yeah. It's just two friend-zoned ships passing in the night, just going like, we're never going to fuck, and then just flying away.
But so funny, because that's the reaction I would have, to be like, oh, only 2 hours? That's about right. The Bible is like very scant in actual things Jesus said.
Right.
That's why I kind of don't believe most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what the fuck are we actually doing with this book and this entire religion? Like, that's, well, the Beatles tracks add up. Like, it's very relatable.
I also heard a weird fact. That's basically what it was. Yeah. And you're just like, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Yes. But I really want to fuck. But I don't know. What is he? I think he's getting himself in that situation where you're like, I need someone else to draw these boundaries for me because I want to push all of them.
Mm-hmm. And there's something, he gets sexual satisfaction, I think, from, because he knows he can't do it from actually fucking. So his sexual satisfaction is from knowing that, like, he could. And like just the fact that they got as far as they did for him, like, he's not going to break his...
Doing an incredibly sensual communion.
He's not going to touch a child for like 12 months.
Yeah. It's going to be a bit before he is a sexual predator. But yeah, in a way, he's like, he is predatory in taking advantage of vulnerable people. And like,
and his position of religiosity and power. And
power.
He should not be there.
Yeah.
But I will say the one thing about Father Phil that I thought was redeeming was that he is defending Tony a little bit. And like, you know, the initial reaction to, oh, maybe he did tell you that his therapist was a woman and you just forgot.
Well, right. I don't know if that was, you thought it was redeeming?
I thought, yeah, that one. And then the like, oh, well, you make Tony a better guy. There's no like, well, you know what you have to do.
Yeah.
You have to choose the path of righteousness and holiness and leave him behind.
Yeah.
And like, and or the church forgives. Like, there's, he's not really trying to put it on that hard.
To me, it like harkened back to, once again, my days being like a frustrated little fuck monster who like who couldn't,
or
you know,
non-fuck monster,
you know, someone who wanted to fuck and couldn't, and like had like was constantly friend zoned, and then being like, oh, Brad is such an idiot, like he did this and this. I'm like, no, Brad's actually like a really good guy. He's like strong and stuff, and yeah, and sometimes he talks to other girls, but I can tell when he talks about you, it's like face lights up and like he really really likes you. And inside I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing, Matt? Just fucking go for it. But yeah, you know, just too scared to go for it. It's like,
and then there's the significance of the fact that the movie they watch is The Remains of the Day,
which
is about a guy who's basically too afraid to fuck his entire life.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
What is in that book, by the way?
I think Anthony Hopkins, well, the character that he plays is like this butler, but he's just like too tasteful to, you know, get his dick wet.
Right.
Yeah.
But are they all like, I feel like they're nude images or like pornographic drawings. I've seen that movie, but I don't remember what.
I imagine it was a diary of some sort, wasn't
it's
it?
Probably,
I've
like,
never
really
seen it.
Beautiful,
I've never
poetry
seen it.
And like really sensual. Yeah. I don't know.
It's just drawings.
It's just a graphic drawing of his dick going in. No, you can't see
that's
my diary.
I think it is.
It's just porn that he draws for himself. Yeah.
They're going to do the Jackie Treehorn thing.
Yeah,
and
Emma Thompson with titties, big old titties. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Father Phil's whole character in this episode. First of all, this is the first time we see this actor playing Father Phil, who is an old friend.
Well, she gives him an opening. She's like, Father Phil, I didn't know you thought that way about like Emma Thompson.
Right.
And instead of being like, yeah, I'm a man, I got needs. Yeah. He's like, oh, I can appreciate her like the beauty of a flower or a tree or one of God's creatures.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, you liar.
Yeah, everything is non-sexual with me because I'm normal.
Yeah. It's funny that they get priests to fully buy into that when, like, if you just read like a little bit of the history of it, the only reason that they're taking a vow of chastity was because in like the 13th century the church was like, hey, we're tired of all these priests being married and leaving their land to their families.
Oh, right.
They're like, we want all the all the land to come back to the church.
To the church,
and so
sure.
That's so they're like, all right, you guys have to not fuck now.
Interesting.
Yeah, I did not know that.
That's the whole. Yeah, it's not like it was not like a religious thing from the beginning.
No.
Of the church, it was very
you're
much
you're taking land away from the church by
yeah because if the
a
priest
family?
If the priest had a wife and kids, like he would die, and then the land would go to the family.
So they have to support. Oh,
and
man.
So instead of go, that, yeah. Like you have to take a vow of chastity. So you can't get married. So when you die, like any of your possessions come back to the church.
So they say that like if you're a nun, then God is your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true then that if you're a priest, then God is your wife?
That
means should be.
That means God is a girl, or
God is a woman. God, Ariana Grande.
There are a bunch of fanooks.
I feel like Father Phil would be really into Ariana Grande's God is a Woman.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
if
yeah,
it
yeah.
were 2019, he would be explaining the lyrics to
it's
God
really
is a
remarkable
Woman.
If you add up all the things that Ariana Grande
dude,
ever
he
sung.
Would be a fucking, you know, he would be a blogger for Paste Magazine or like the dude is
Slate.
So, actually.
You'd have a Slate podcast
yes,
about religion.
Yes, exactly. About religion, about movies, yeah. About like. Father Phil, circa 2019, is a fucking podcaster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, for NPR.
Mm-hmm. The lowest form of life on earth is
exactly.
People who make podcasts.
Podcasting is the worst.
Here's his apology the next morning, know, to apologize for how he came in his pants the night before.
It's not that I don't have desire for you in my heart.
My own father, please.
Last night was one of the most difficult tests from God ever for me.
What are you talking about? We're friends.
Nothing happened, you pussy.
Yeah, that's what she's saying. She's like, don't talk about it.
What's that look about?
What, I look some way? I was just thinking about when we watched Casablanca last week.
Of course
it was. The new print is great, huh?
Shut up.
Shoot, I didn't get the whole clip, but she's like, of all the priests, I had to get the one who's straight.
Yeah, right.
And
right,
I was
right.
like, there's a lot of ways to interpret straight in that. Like, does she mean straight as in, like, he doesn't have sex with kids, or straight
no,
as in, like,
he's 99.
Who actually takes his vows seriously?
What's the word that she says of all the F priests?
Like, Fanoic.
So, right? Which means
gay.
Gay. Right?
Fanocchio. Yeah.
Is it the F word?
Yeah. She was basically in the Italian parlance was like, of all the queers who are priests, why did I get the one straight one?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, this is pre, you know, the scandal being out there for everyone to know that priests were fucking kids.
Sure.
So I don't think she was referring to, pedophile priests
yeah,
in the world,
no.
Why did I get the one who likes adults?
She was responsible. She's like, oh yeah, this woman has had these relationships before. I mean, this is an adult who knows how to deal with adult romance that is forbidden.
Mm-hmm.
But he put the test on himself. He did the whole thing himself. He pushed it and pushed
it. Yeah, yeah. He had that hot communion.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as like AJ called and said that he's not coming home and is sleeping over, he like looked over like, oh shit. I'm about to fuck.
Yeah.
Also, I think Carmela is super weak in this episode. She just found out that Melfi is a woman. She is sick. She's getting over a flu.
Yeah.
And I just like the whole thing feels super manipulative to me. And like that he's
on her end or his end?
No, on his end.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's literally my whole plan was as soon as she breaks up with Sam. And she starts crying to me about it.
But you got
to
get her drunk first and she's sick and you impose yourself.
Well,
watch a movie and then get her to admit that like the person that she's with is actually a piece of shit.
Yeah, right.
So there's, manipulative.
No, yeah. It's a very manipulative thing. That's why whenever someone's like, hey, I'm a nice guy. Why don't girls like nice guys? It's like, are you really that nice?
Yeah.
Or are you just being friends with women
You're trying to put all of your desire. You're trying to put the onus of making the first move on them. You're just like, I'll just hang out here in case they decide that they want to
kiss me instead
of just being like, hey, can I?
Yeah.
Can we fuck?
Yeah. Break emergency glass when vulnerable.
Yeah.
It is really just like it is a very manipulative thing that men do because they are afraid to be sexual or they're just like
to make the first move. They're afraid of rejection.
Move.
I think
they're
the
afraid
real
of
thing.
Rejection. It's
like
being
sexual is like when you have a gun on a holster
and
you pull it out. Like once you pull it out, someone's got to shoot. You
right.
Know?
Yeah.
But if you keep it holstered, you're like, well, this could go, you know, I might not get murdered here.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I just keep it in the holster and hope that the other person draws right. on me.
But literally, when someone could pull the gun out of the thing and you would just be like, you know what? I'm too afraid to do anything with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's Father Phil. He is in the position where no one's going to know. And like, obviously Carmela wants it and he still can't.
So, why I think that ultimately, right. He jizzes in his pants. And maybe if he were a little more, I mean, manly and, or took like the reins a little bit more, forgetting that he's a priest, she might have gone with it.
Yeah, oh, I think so.
100%.
He dithered.
Yeah, yeah. Because he lost his, masculine decisiveness the moment he dithered. And then she was like, well, I'm out now.
Yeah.
Now I'm dry. I'm back to being dry.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Yeah. It really is like, it was just like looking in a mirror to my like adolescent self. Absolutely. I was just like, God damn, dude. Thank God I didn't grow up Catholic, because I totally would have been like, you know, it's a good position of power being a priest. And I never have to make the first move because it's illegal. Like, yeah.
So before we get out, Gaba Vafangul, our slang corner.
Yeah.
The one that I noticed was Christopher's on the phone with Tony, and Tony tells him not to come to Maine. He's like, stay home, ugats.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what does that mean? And of course, we go to our favorite friend on YouTube, Stevie B.
Yeah, Stevie B.
He's going to explain the phrase, ugatsongul.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, how you all doing? I'm Stevie B. And the Italian-American slang word of the day is gatsongul. Gatsongul. Yesterday, I'm leaving work. Who's across the street? Down a block, Donnie. Sees me, coming over to me, looking for a handout. He's always looking for a handout. Before he could say a word, I go, Donnie, I got gatsungul. Medigan. Yesterday, as I finished work and approached my car, who do I see down the block, Donald? He is going to ask me for help.
He's always asking
me for help. But today, before he can utter a word, I just look at him and say, Donald, I've got nothing. Gatsongul.
Fucking Stevie B rules so hard.
Yeah, he's great.
I love Stevie B.
But he didn't break it down in Italian, did he?
Well, no.
It just means nothing.
Yeah. But like, gatsongul, is it a whole word? Or is it,
I
got a ghoul? Or
yeah, it means I have like no ghouls.
It sounds like katsu, right? Which is penis.
Gatsongul,
whatever a ghoul is.
No, ugats. Ugats.
How do you spell it? Okay, ugats literally means my dick or this dick, used to express either nothing or my ass. I got ungats here. I got a dick here.
Literally translated, ugats is derived from the Italian ucasso, which literally translated as this penis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do I have? I have dick. Oh.
Ungats.
And now I kind of get what that phrase means. When someone would say, like, I have dick here.
Yeah.
It just means I have nothing in my pockets.
When we play Italian cards. I don't got dick, basically.
Yeah.
When we play Italian cards with my dad.
Yeah.
We played that, and he was like, ungatso is what he says when he's got a bad hand.
Oh.
Ungatso.
I've got dick.
If you Americanize it. Italian Americanize it, ungats.
Because they never use the vowel at the end for some.
Well, you voice your consonants, so gats becomes gats.
Yeah, another, what do you call it? Another Gaba Vafangul you have is the Italian Americanized version of mozzarella, which I have a clip of.
Mozzarella.
Mm hmm.
Yeah. I also have a confession to make, Carl. I have a Jones for your baked ziti.
Oh. Sure, anytime. I have some in the freezer right now. I can reheat it.
It's so much better that way, isn't it? The mozzarella gets all nice and chewy.
I like that.
The mozzarella. I love the way that Italian Americans just take away all of the vowels at the end of everything.
It makes a lot of sense, though, because American English is so short and to the point and utilitarian.
Yeah, right.
And adding these extra flowery consonants is like, all right, we don't have time for that, and we're just going to go.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of, gendering your nouns, they got ugats.
Yeah.
Hey. Mozzarella.
Mozzarella.
Well,
I think that's an episode.
Great episode. I think this is the first like transcendent Sopranos episode. Yeah. I mean, the first one was great.
The pilot is good, and the pilot is so good that it allows the following three episodes to kind of just like exist. And they're good, and the story moves along, but they're not like... they're not yet the Sopranos that we know and love. This is the first episode where you're like, oh, shit. This is a different kind of show. And I think that's because you, up until this point in American TV history, you don't have a lead character strangling someone to death. You don't have that, like the anti-hero is so common now in terms of being like,
well,
you
it's
know,
all doctors and detectives and everything.
Right.
On
it's
television,
fucking
and
prosecutors
now,
are yeah. like the fucking yeah. heroes, the people trying to stop the murders. And even, you know, in shows where maybe you might have bad guys in the past, like, you know, Hogan's Heroes, where everyone's a Nazi, like, you know, you don't see, you know, the anyone getting their hands dirty. And like, this is the first time you're like, oh, this is a different type of show. This isn't Analyze This.
Right.
You know,
and it's also the first episode since the first. Like the three before this, they're more like teasers. They kind of end like as the teaser for the next episode.
Right,
you're
right,
like, oh,
right,
what's
going
to happen next? Mm-hmm. And this one has a very clear like beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then,
yeah,
like
yeah.
at the end, it all comes full circle.
It is a self-contained episode.
And they're going to be the most heartwarming and also like blood-curdling, chilling episode. Like just watching strangulations on television I think are really disturbing. Mm-hmm. I find them almost more gory than just like shooting someone or stabbing or whatever. Like,
because of the time that
so
it takes.
Long,
yeah.
And they lingered on it.
Yeah, you're seeing like shots and of him getting like...
I don't think it takes that long in real life, though. We were talking about this.
It takes a while.
Supposedly it takes a long time.
I mean, I can put somebody out in like less than 5 seconds if I do.
I mean, I could put somebody
in. Fall asleep.
I can rip a pussy's head off in under 3 seconds.
But that's how long it takes to like fall asleep. I don't know how much longer it takes after they pass out before they die
to kill them.
Sure.
I think for like for a while. I mean, at least 30 seconds or a minute for the breathing to stop. I mean, my history of strangulation.
But I don't know if you're cutting off air. I think you're cutting off
circulation.
Blood flow.
Yeah.
Really? I don't know.
In like a sleeper hole, you're cutting off blood flow, and that's why they fall asleep.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's air.
I don't know I don't know how much longer it takes before they die.
Here's a question.
And whether that's blood or air.
Is that healthy to do that to someone? Like if
sleeper what? Hold?
If someone put me in a sleeper hold every night.
Well, that's why they tap usually, so you don't go to sleep.
But if you do go to sleep, you're just asleep.
Is that a good way? It's like a better Ambien?
I'm just saying like it'd be better than, is it better than Ambien?
Ooh, I don't know. That's a good question. The funny thing about watching someone get choked where they pass out is they immediately go into REM sleep.
Yeah.
So you can like watch them dreaming because like they're still
they're
still like dream wrestling when they pass out. It's very interesting to watch.
Yeah. And it's freaky too because they do wake up immediately after.
And they're like, what? And there's like a second or two where they're like, oh yeah.
I got choked out. Yeah.
Fabian's not coming back though.
No, Fabian got choked out for realsies. And then of course there was a choked out of existence. And there was a shot of a bunch of birds. I think geese.
Oh yeah, it ends on the geese. Yeah,
yeah, which is very the symbolism of the art is really where the show shines.
When I write script,
I said we need to pack this baby with some art because if there's a lot of art in script, then people will gonna enjoy script. And so when I wrote this episode, I said make sure art. Anyways, this has been Art with Matt Lee, Francesca. Thank you so much for coming on Pod Yourself a Gun.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. And Vince, the Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
So leave a voicemail.
I don't think we've gotten any Sopranos.
Yeah, everyone pretty much calls our normal podcast.
Say the number again.
The Film Drunk Broadcast.
415-275-0030. Oh, wait. Hold on. There's 30. One. We do have one Sopranos related voicemail.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to get a bumper for voicemails.
Yeah.
On this.
Oh, shit. What's up? It's the Pod Yourself a Gun podcast.
Hell yeah, dude.
What up? Shit's dope. shit. First time I seen Sopranos is like when it premiered. Mm. I was like 11 or 12 years old. I'm 33 now.
Me too, dude.
I basically grew up on that shit. So it really kind of like influenced me. Not to be a criminal or anything, but like, you know, think deep and shit. But yeah.
Yes.
Oh shit. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Also, you need to have Mike Racine on the show. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Who's that? I don't know that.
I don't know. What do you say? Mike?
Mike Racine.
Racine? I think Mike Racine, if I know this correctly, which is something... I'm sorry. I'm literally Googling it, pretending like I knew. Mike Racine, according to IMDb, is... Well, that can't be it. No, he was in a TV series on Frontline. He's the Washington Scuba Divers Association.
Yeah, that's probably not him.
That's probably not him.
Call back and tell us who that is. We'll have to figure that out in the correction segment of the next episode.
Definitely. Yeah. We'll look up Mike Racine. The name sounds so familiar that like...
He's a comic.
Is he a comic?
Seems like he's a comic.
Oh, yeah. There he is. Mike Racine. Stand up. Yeah, we got to get Mike Racine on. Oh, look at this. He did an episode with he has a podcast, and he talked about The Sopranos with Sam Morrill. All right. Anyways, everyone, thank you so much.
That was fun.
Leave all your voicemails, fraudcast@gmail.com. That is if you want to email us something. But yeah, voicemails are always appreciated. Thank you so much for listening. And
show me that smile.
Once again, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, show me that smile again.